The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about osteopenia and osteoporosis. I think this is interesting overall. And more so just breaking down, you know, and here's what made me think. I probably did a show on this. Now, if you're just tuning in to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne, I'm Dr. Leanne. I've had this show now for 12 years, something around there. Over a decade. Let's just say over a decade. And I remember doing this show years and years and years back. And I can't really find it anymore just because it's been so long and so many different radio shows and podcasts. So I thought, what a better time to touch base on this, because I have had lots of people ask me what my thought process was on all of this. And I have a thought process. And, you know, with the caveat always comes, like, I will bring to you research, right? Research from published from Harvard, other advice from Mayo Clinic proceedings. Like, so this isn't just my, like, oh, chiropractic opinion. Now, that being said, you should have a primary care physician. They're the ones that are likely doing your DEXA scans. And so, you know, if you're a patient, I am more than willing to take a look over those things, give advice and recommendations. But this podcast platform, this radio show, is not advice, because I am a doctor. I'm not your doctor. So those are always ones where I would hate to get that misconstrued. But I do feel like, regardless, there are some very interesting aspects of how we can look at this. And just, I think, the overall aspect of figuring out why, right? Like, we have such a high rate of osteoporosis and osteopenia. So I guess we can kind of break the difference between those down. So osteopenia is a condition characterized by lower than normal bone density, which can then progress into osteoporosis if not treated. So the key difference is that osteopenia indicates a risk of developing osteoporosis, while osteoporosis is a more severe condition where bone density is significantly reduced, leading to a higher risk of fractures. So let's talk about this. We're all on the same team of, we don't want any broken bones. We don't want any broken hips. This makes me so mad. My grandma, her doctor, you know, she's obviously, she's in her mid-80s, and she has a very substantial scoliosis, and, you know, she really does struggle to get around a little bit, but she's always like, I can't fall, because my doctor says if I fall, I'm never coming home. I'm dead. And I was like, that might be true, but that is the worst bedside manner I've literally ever heard. So he tells you if you fall, you're going to die. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, he might not be wrong, but that's not the way you should talk to people. But anyways, I digress. So those are always ones where we're all on the same page that we don't want broken hips. But first and foremost, I always want to figure out, like, and again, I've shared this before, that truly my inner full of, but why, right? Because I grew up in the age of got milk, right? Like, got milk. If you want strong bones, you have to drink milk. And then I think, goodness, we in the United States consume the highest amount, like the highest amount of milk, but we also have the highest rate of osteoporosis. So we drink the most milk and we have the softest bones, like in bone fractures. So help me understand why. And so what was really interesting is that if you're in kind of the more health-related realm, you've probably heard of Dr. Mark Hyman. He's come out with a couple of great books. But he had wrote an article a couple years back that talked about lack of evidence for milk's benefit. And so instead of got milk, he said got proof. And what most of us don't realize, you know, because I just as a kid remember all the billboards like across everywhere, got milk, all the different celebrities. And it was the Dairy Council. The Dairy Council promoted the wonders of got milk ads. Like it was, you know, millions upon millions of dollars spent in this advertising. And, you know, kudos for them because it was to the point where, you know, we always just assumed in order to have strong bones, you have to drink milk. And again, what's interesting is that there's no biological requirement for cow's milk. And he goes on to talk about how he says it's the nature's perfect food, but only if you're a calf. So the evidence of its benefits are overstated and the evidence of its harm to the human population is increasing. And part of that truly is the conventional milk that we're drinking, the amount of antibiotics, not only the antibiotics, but the hormone that's in here. So really, like, the government hasn't yet caught on to the fact that, you know, we've got these dairy lobbying sponsored, you know, like all of these things. And you're like, it's phenomenal, but it has to be bioavailable. And then what we're doing to milk too, right? Like, just so with doing more research, I was trying to figure out, you know, I respect Dr. Mark Hyman. He's an MD, very much more naturally minded, but I was looking at like, where did all of this come from? And again, it's just that milk contains calcium. Calcium is known to improve bone mineral density. But when we talk about got proof, demonstrating the link between the consumption of milk and the possession of strong bones is harder than it sounds. Like, the ideal study would take two large groups of people and randomly assign every member of one group to drink plenty of milk for several decades, while the other group would drink some kind of milk placebo instead. So obviously that's not really as realistic to do. So what they do instead is they take thousands of people and ask them how much milk they've been drinking over the years, and then follow them for at least a decade to see whether or not the people who regularly drink milk are any less likely to suffer from broken bones later in life. So they actually did this. Harvard University did this in 1997. They took 77,000 female nurses who were followed for 10 years. The researchers found no significant difference in the number of arm or hip fractures between those who drank one glass of milk a week or less and those who drank two or more. When they looked at a similar study, they looked at 330,000 male health professionals. Again, milk didn't seem to make a difference in fracture rates. So they looked at like an alternative would be calcium supplements, following fears that risk of long-term effects of taking supplements. So they had, again, 51 randomized control trials to assess the benefit outweighed the risk, because what happens is when you're taking these very high doses of calcium, one, it calcium tries to find stability. So if there's something that's damaged, like artery walls, for example, that's where you'll see an increase in calcium. So you're like, does that solve a problem or does it create a different one? So they actually found there was two large Swedish studies done, which actually led to headlines talking about that drinking more than three glasses of milk a day, which, and it's a larger amount than most people drink, was no help to your bones and might even cause you more harm. So for that study, researchers looked, gave people questionnaires for their risk consumption, milk consumption, for their milk consumption between 1987 and 1999. Mortality risks were examined in 2010. People were alarmed to hear that drinking a glass of milk a day appeared to be associated with both broken bones and early death, right? So there's all of these different aspects where you're like, but still understanding why we are having a huge milk consumption and less. And I look at, like, for example, we've got milk and they even say, oh, here's this lactose-free, ultra-filtered milk and there's 50% less sugar and 50% more protein and no growth hormones. And we're like, well, that's awesome in theory. But then you look at something like their chocolate milk and you're like, they added a whole bunch, and they've been talking about how to kind of change the taste of milk, and they add acesulfame potassium, also known as ACE-K. There's carrageenan, there's artificial flavors, there's artificial, and then there's sucralose, which is, again, another artificial sweetener. So on the flip side of things, you have these people who are like, diet sodas and all of the things, and you're like, so diet sodas are just like no big deal, right? Because it prevents diabetes and all of these other things. But a 14-year study of 66,000 women found that the opposite of these diet drinks seem to be true. Diet drinks may be worse than sugar-sweetened drinks, which is worse than fruit juice. So they looked at women who drank 12 ounces of diet soda had a 33% increased risk of type 2 diabetes, and women who drank 1 20-ounce soda had a 66% increased risk. And you think, why does that have any meaning when we talk about diets versus sugars? Well, sugar is an anti-nutrient, so it makes hard for any sort of trace mineral or nutrient at all to be absorbed. But number two, type 2 diabetes is an imbalance of sugar. And so when we're looking at, we think that we're doing all of this really great thing by, you know, milk, so, and there's so much less sugar in here. And you're like, yeah, but that less sugar actually has been known to trick your metabolism to thinking that sugar's on the way. So it causes your body to pump out insulin and the fat storage hormone, which gives you more belly fat, which also confuses and slows down your metabolism. So you burn fewer calories every day. It makes you hungrier, crave more, right? And so it's like, it's just this backwards thing. And then you're like, oh, not only to mention that, you know, we think that there's no big deal when it comes to soda drinking, right? But then you look at an article that was posted, high consumption of soft drinks is associated with an increased risk of fractures. It was a 7-year follow-up study published in the journal Nutrients, published February of 2020. So one, it looks at sugar. So sugar in general, this specifically is coming from sugar in soft drinks. But not only does it increase the risk of obesity, fat affects the regulation of bone and is involved in bone active hormone metabolism. You look at phosphorus, right? Phosphorus, daily soft drink consumption was associated with a double the risk of fracture. And you're like, no big deal, right? You drink soda and milk and you're like, is that helping? You have unmanaged blood sugar, unmanaged diabetes. Like, that is a huge aspect on bone. But then too, from a phosphorus standpoint, soft drink contributes to the dietary intake of phosphorus. Very high phosphorus but low calcium diets may stimulate parathyroid hormone and cause bone reabsorption. A high intake of phosphorus may also reduce renal activation of 25-hydroxyvitamin D and affect calcium homeostasis. We're going to talk about the importance of vitamin D in bone mineral density coming up. But then too, most people don't realize that cans in general, including soda cans, have plastic, or they use phthalates to make the bottles or the internal lining. And so in animal studies, female rats treated with phthalates showed significant dose fetal skeletal abnormalities in bone homeostasis imbalances, i.e. deformities, delayed ossification, skeletal variants. And then again, for calcium signaling, bone proliferation, bone remodeling, osteoblastic proliferation, right? So it builds up bone, osteoblast versus osteoclast. So there's all of these aspects on like why. Also too, right, to break down. So osteoblast, you have osteoblast and osteoclast. Osteo just means bone, right? So osteopenia, osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, osteoblast, osteoclast. Osteo just means bone. Now, osteoblast build up where osteoclast break down. And so you've got this kind of aspect of building. When you look at something like chronic underlying inflammation, which sugar intake, gluten intake, all of that, you know, our general lifestyle, bad oils, seed oils, can cause this low level chronic inflammation. What happens through that chronic inflammation is you see an increase in osteoclastic response. So the bone breaks down even faster. And so, of course, we're like, why? Why? And you're like, okay. But then if we look and we say the bones are weak and we don't want fractures, one of the first things that we look at is a bisphosphonate. So Boniva, Actonel, Fosamax. And I've got some thoughts about that, and we'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us.
So fill your plate and fill your drink and fill this house with family. The kind of love a thousand miles can't wash away. Cause the older that I get, I see life is short and bittersweet. Thank God for this Thanksgiving Day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That is GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about osteoporosis. Osteopenia is the lead up to osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is the more severe. And so inevitably, we're all on team. We don't want broken bones, you know, but I think that it's just so, trying to use my words well, if you will. There's a reason why, right? There's a reason why bones are softening. And so those are always ones where if you're listening right now and you think, well, I don't have weak bones. And you're like, great, now is the time to keep making decisions to not have weak bones. So if that's managing your blood sugar, cutting out sugar, we'll talk a little bit more about your GI system and what that has to do with bone density, because I think that's very important and very much under-addressed in the general population. But then too, I look at just kind of our first go-to, and I talk about R as like the allopathic version, is looking at bisphosphonates, right? So bisphosphonates would be categories of like Fosamax, Actonel, Boniva. Those are bisphosphonates. And those don't come without any, there's an article that was published in Harvard's Women Health Watch. And it was, what's the story with Fosamax? Recent reports have women wondering if they should stop taking this widely prescribed osteoporosis drug. And reason being is because when we talk about Fosamax, the whole mechanism of Fosamax is it works by slowing the reabsorption, the breakdown phase of the bone remodeling. And so you have like you have matrix in between the bones. So you have the outside bone and then you have the inside bone. And it's kind of this matrix of like spongy gelatinous, like intertwined matrix. And the problem is that there is actually a reason why you should build up bone and break down bone and build on, break down bone and build up bone. Like, that's the process of our body. So I understand how the allopathic version's like, well, just quit reabsorbing the bone and the bone will be stronger. But the problem is if it's not the good quality of bone and that breakdown and buildup, there's actually like a mechanism why that needs to happen. What happens is it almost like it puts like paper mache on the outside. So you might be able to do a DEXA scan and the picture of it looks more dense, but it's not a good quality, hardy denseness because the inside of the bone becomes thinner, which is why there's such concern because one of the new, like the main, it's a very unusual fracture that happens with these women who use Fosamax, or I should say just people in general, because the fracture is of the thigh bone of the femur. So typically when you have thinning of the bone, it is the femur neck, which is a little bit higher up, where this is actually on the thigh bone itself. And so what patients are finding is that there is low or no trauma, and then they fall. So we've always thought, yes, of course, your bones are weak, your bones break, you fall. When in reality, so many of these people say, I was just walking, my bone broke, and then I fell. And everyone's like, I don't know about that. And you're like, no, that's exactly what happened. The problem is, too, is there's more emerging data about the links between bisphosphonates with osteonecrosis, which is bone death of the jaw, as well as AFib, atrial fibrillation. And so here's another. So researchers in Singapore published a report on 17 postmenopausal women, average age of 66, who experienced fractures across the thigh bone unprovoked by major trauma. All of the women were taking Fosamax for an average of 5 years, and 13 of them had had leg pain before the fracture developed. So the research reported similar finding. In another study published in 2007, they theorize a prolonged suppression of bone remodeling by Fosamax may have encouraged fracture-induced micro damage to the bone. These research ones that were done by Singapore prompted New York's hospital identified 70 patients who had suffered low energy fractures between 2002 and 2007. So low energy fractures occurred from a fall from standing height or less. 25, so 36% of them had been taking Fosamax. Of these, 20 had suffered a fracture across the femur, and 19 of those fractures occurred in patients who had been taking Fosamax the longest, on average 7 years. So that's often one where they look at now, like, they're like, no, don't take it for more than, you can only take it for 5 years. And so here's the question that I ask, right? And I think about when you're like, hey, we know if you take Fosamax for longer than 5 years, it causes femur fractures. Like, it causes your bones to break. And you're like, but if you take it for 5 years, it makes your bones stronger. And you're like, woo-woo, say it again. And you're like, if you take it for 5 years or less, it makes your bones stronger. It still can cause jaw necrosis and AFib. And oh, by the way, we know that it causes acid reflux. Like, we know it causes acid reflux. Okay. So they're like, what's the prevention of that? And you're like, okay, well, just manage it with like proton pump inhibitors, PPI. So Nexium, Prilosec, Omeprazole, right? Just give them a proton pump inhibitor. Folks, calcium can only be absorbed in an acidic environment. So when you take something, one of the main side effects of proton pump inhibitors is decrease in calcium, bone density loss. So again, so you're telling me to take this bisphosphonate, which we know if you take after 5 years, increases risk of fracture, necrosis of like bone death of the jaw. It causes AFib. It causes acid reflux. So we just take a medication that causes calcium depletion. And that's what our solution is to this bone density loss. I cannot wrap my head around how to make that make sense. If I take it for five or less, it makes my bone strong. If I take it for five or more, it increases fractures. In general, it causes acid reflux. We take something to decrease the acid, and now we have. And so this is one where, again, bisphosphonates in cardiovascular events. This was published in Harvard Library, published 2015. Bisphosphonates and the risk of cardiovascular events, right? So it's looking at these cardiovascular events, AFib, myocardial infarct, stroke, cardiovascular deaths. And so, you know, when we're talking about like, hey, if there's an increase in AFib, they're like, no, it's fine. You can just like regulate that because, you know, the bone density treatment, you can still do that. And then you look at adverse effects of bisphosphonate. Again, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. But bisphosphonates are like Fosamax, Actonel, Boniva. And so this is a 7-page article talking about some of the adverse effects and implications that are with this osteoporosis management, this form of management. And so obviously we talked about osteonecrosis of the jaw and severe suppression of bone turnover, which is kind of that problem. Other important considerations, including the importance of vitamin D, which we'll talk about as well. So they looked at the short-term adverse effects. One is obviously the upper GI effects. So that's one, like they say, use your clinical judgment, like when you're talking about all these GI-related symptoms. But they said abdominal pain, nausea, gastritis, a lot of that is from the acids. Then you look at another one is acute phase reaction. Another one, it talks about T cells. And another one is severe musculoskeletal pain. So another one is hypocalcemia. It has to do with hyperparathyroid. Now, when you look continuing on, another one is ocular inflammation. Uveitis, conjunctivitis, scleritis, ocular pain, photophobia, so sensitivity to light. That's another side effect. Esophageal cancer, right? So they looked at several year study. FDA reported 23 patients were diagnosed with having esophageal cancer, with the median time from use to diagnosis is 2.1 years. Reports of 31 patients from Europe and Japan show that in addition to esophageal cancer, they found median time to diagnosis is 1.3 years. Then you look at more long-term one, obviously osteonecrosis of the jaw. They have another one being atrial fibrillation, another one being severe suppression of bone turnover, another one being subtrochanteric femoral fractures. So that's kind of the middle part of the bone. And so we have all of these aspects when you're like, there's a risk-benefit ratio in everything that you do. But again, my doctor brain has to think, if the side effect is necrosis of the jaw, bone fractures, AFibs, it's looking at, is there a better way to look at addressing bone density, a more natural way? And so that's something that we will most definitely talk about next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about osteopenia versus osteoporosis, which, if you know, is bone softening. So, obviously, the concern about that would be hip fractures, any sort of fracture, right? Bone fractures in general. You know, it's so interesting. I actually had a good handful of patients over the course of the last couple months that I've talked to about this. So I figured, you know, it's probably about time to do a show on it. And so here's what was really interesting about it is that there's always a desire to figure out like what to do next. And it's kind of this gray area. Now, remember, I am a doctor of chiropractic. I am not your PCP. I'm not your prescribing physician. So you can always ask. But these are ones where it's like, what can I do? And I do think there's an aspect of normalizing kind of age related. I think the best time to start paying attention to bone density is now, like wherever you're at, if you have weak bones or if you don't. But the patient more recently, one of her questions was like the safety of what we do in our office. I can only speak to what we do in our office because we do manual adjustments with our hands, but we don't do rotary adjustments. And so she was concerned about the start of osteopenia and her safety with getting adjusted. So all of the adjusting that we do in our office is tractional. Same thing with like the thoracic spine. We're very light. We're very gentle. We don't do any of the twisting. And so it increases the safety and efficacy of this in terms of what is going on. So safety-wise from what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, it's very easy. Now, the aspect of saying, hey, what do I do? And the first question that I typically ask is, what's your vitamin D level? Right? Like, what's your vitamin D level? Because you have to think, we live in the Midwest. We in the Midwest typically will see sunshine for what? From April to October. Sometimes maybe a day or two in November. But then from November to March, there's no sun. Which vitamin D is when UVB rays hit our skin and turn cholesterol into vitamin D. But what if we fear the sun? We're convinced that's the reason for skin cancer. So we always use a UV protectant so that vitamin B cannot be absorbed into our skin. And you think, I'm not using a UV protectant, but that's literally what sunscreen is. It screens out the UV rays from the sun. That's what sunscreen is. And so we have this time where we're like, hey, I don't want to see the sun, and we cover our bodies up. So standard, what I see is that vitamin D levels in general are very low because we've feared the sun forever. And two, just kind of where we live geographically is not, we don't have sun 100% of the time all year round. So that's one where, you know, there can be some questions, but the presence of vitamin D increases calcium absorption. So I think that's really important to note. It is a test that we do in the office. It's just a dried blood spot. So it's a finger prick that you take home. I opted to start doing that in our office a little bit more because of the fact that I went to my medical doctor and I was like, I might as well just get my labs all ran here. Like, can you just tag on some vitamin D? And they're like, sure. And I got the bill for all my labs. It was like $219 just for the vitamin D. And I was like, I can do that for less than a third of the price at my office. And so that's what we do now, right? Like, let's see what that looks like. I think it's so important. I think increasing calcium-rich foods, and it doesn't have to be dairy-based, right, or fortified. Salmon is a really good one. A lot of kale or leafy greens. Cruciferous vegetables. So broccoli, cauliflower. Are you consuming those foods? right? Like, I just think it's so interesting when it's like, we'll just take this pill that's supposed to solve all the problems, but the reason why it's there, obviously cigarette smoking, that's one where when you look at all of the research, cigarette smoking is just literally the worst. And it's so funny because the people that I talk to about, you know, hey, it's not healthy, like, we know, but just for some reason, like, I had a friend's dad who I saw, and I was like, you know, listen, that cigarette smoke's going to take your life. And he's like, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And he did. And it inevitably took his life. And he has a couple grandkids now that he's never met because of it, you know. All the while, you know, cancer is one thing, but then bone density is another one. It's a big deal. And here's the thing, like, if you ever look at, like, a smoker, you know, typically the thing that you see the most is what? Wrinkles. And those wrinkles are just the collagen deprivation that cigarette smoking can do. And you've got collagen part of the bone matrix that is really important. Now, that being said, increasing that, the other thing that I really encourage patients in the office to do, and you can say there might be mixed reviews and all the things, but it surely isn't going to hurt, is that whole body vibration therapy. It's something that we have in the office. We have it in the office for neuromuscular reeducation, for changing the structure. But there are benefits, including strengthening muscle and bone. So this is kind of potentially that will help people with osteoporosis that can alleviate certain symptoms. And so they actually looked at where a lot of women, and I say women just because it's more common in women, but this is men as well. It's more common in women because menopause can accelerate the loss of bone mass, which can contribute to osteoporosis. But here's what I think too, right? Like, you look at a woman who is in her mid-60s and you're like, what woman in their mid-60s has not gone through menopause? And the answer is because the average age for menopause is between 50 and 51. So what woman has not gone through menopause? And you're like, answer, no, every single person has. Just like every single male that you see at 65 is likely going to have a different testosterone level at 65 than he did at 45 and 25. Why? That's the way God made us. That's literally the way God made us. And so, yes, we understand that we don't necessarily want to see an increase in hip fractures and all the things, but there are things that we could do proactive to decrease. But women at 65 aren't actively building bone. They might look like that paper mache on the outside because of the bisphosphonate, but that doesn't mean that that paper mache makes them strong. It makes them appear thicker. There's very much a difference, especially too, because it decreases the inner bone that has this like honeycomb-like appearance. Now, we have told women, and we've like feared, like people with osteoporosis, they'll often decrease their physical activity because they fear breaking a bone. But in reality, that weight-bearing exercise is incredibly important. Now, more information about whole body vibration therapy was looking at standing on the vibration plate. It was about 30 hertz. So not all vibration plates are the same, but they found standing on the vibration plate for 10 to 20 minutes each day could help increase, help them regain bone loss 1-2%. They actually did this in astronauts because they found, you know, when you're not actively using the bone, that's where you'll start to see those bones soften or not be as strong, right? And so whole body vibration helps build the muscle in addition to improving balance and mobility, but then two can help with the bone density. So again, they found a study in people after menopause. They tested 86 individuals for 6 months utilizing 10 minute sessions 5 times a week, found bone density mass increased 4.3% after treatment compared to the control group. And so anytime people are in the office, I'm like, stand on there for a little bit longer, you know, because it does help. They even found whole body vibration therapy is effective in improving walking performance in people with knee osteoarthritis. So because it can help with gait. So those are ones where you know, whole body vibration, I think, is an important aspect. Cutting out sugar, right? Because we know that sugar is an anti-nutrient. Checking your vitamin D levels. Another aspect people always say, like, you have to take K with D. And you're like, yes, there's different forms of K, but your body naturally produces K. That natural production happens in the gut. So if you're eating green leafy vegetables, cruciferous vegetables throughout the day, but then two, that natural absorption. So that's why, like, when people have weak bones, it's like, what does your gut look like? You know, a great example, one of the biomarkers that we look at for the GI stool effects is calprotectin. It's kind of like a reactive protein and inflammation marker of the gut, specifically of the gut. So we can see if there's low level, if there's leaky gut, your body's probably not naturally producing that vitamin K like it should. Now, gut related issues is a whole nother thing that we could talk about. So the two other aspects that you can take more orally, I do not necessarily recommend kind of the more standard calcium supplements. Oftentimes because they're not a complete bone food, which just means that they might increase serum calcium, but that doesn't mean that it has a positive effect on bone growth. And so I actually didn't carry anything supplement or bone related for probably my first 7 or 8 years in the practice, because I couldn't find anything that I actually agreed with in order to increase bone strength and had the actual proper nourishment. And so one of the products that we have, the one and only, honestly, has MCHC. So what that is microcrystalline hydroxyapatite concentrate. So MCHC is derived from whole bone and you can take as a nutritional supplement. So it actually provides greater nourishment for the bone than calcium alone, because it also provides trace minerals. Magnesium, small amounts of phosphorus, trace minerals, including zinc and magnesium. MCHC also contains proteins and other organic factors that naturally occur in the bones and are necessary for bone health. So from an aspect of, like, some of the research shows that growth factors that are part of the protein component play a role in the effectiveness of MCHC on bone health. So what that basically means is, like, not only do these growth factors stimulate the formation of new bone tissue, but they also inhibit the reabsorption or the breakdown of bone. So the MCHC, when you add that along with exercise, I think, one, weight-bearing exercise in general is really important. You can do that in conjunction with the therapies, checking on your vitamin D. But then two, I consume collagen on a daily basis, right? I like to think it's going to keep me looking like I'm 23 for the rest of my life, but, you know, sometimes I don't get carded for wine anymore and it just is what it is. But that being said, collagen's really important. But then just looking at just the basic trace minerals that are associated with them, and that's something that the supplement that we have at the office with MCHC really provides. And so when we add all of those things together, it might not be where you're like, oh my gosh, look how much stronger your bones got, because the DEXA scan, you know, again, it looks at things a little bit differently. But one, just in general, if you're able to say, hey, there's no decline in that bone density, like, we have to think that that's also a win too. So I think just the aspect of, so for me, me personally, those are ones where I think there's no time better to start with that than now, taking those proper supplements, checking your vitamin D. For some people, it is, DEXA scan is radiation. It's a very, very low dose of radiation. If that's something that is maybe familial for you, or you know that you were like a very avid soda drinker at some point in your life, or you smoked cigarettes, like, you know, we always say, like, oh my gosh, your bone density is low, but maybe you didn't have good bone density because you didn't treat your bones very good growing up, or you weren't taught to eat salads, or, you know. So I think just that aspect in general is one that's really important to kind of touch base and evaluate, like, get that baseline and do it every 5 years. Or if you see that need, you can increase that. But I think it's just overall, it's one of those ones where it's like, I don't stop brushing my teeth because I don't have cavities. And so when we look at how we have the ability to build strong bones now and be proactive on that and not wait until we say, gosh, they're so weak, what do we do to help start making those bones harder to prevent fall? But I would say one of the big things is weight-bearing exercises. Gosh, you got to get up and move. Weight-bearing doesn't have to be 10-pound back squats, but you can use a resistance band. You can 5-10-pound weight. But I think just weight-bearing exercises, go for walks, like that would be a weight-bearing exercise. Lifting weights with strong bones is also a very important aspect too. So, you know, just going through and having the ability and opportunity to navigate through that. So Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.